everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sigrid. I'm wife to Kuleka, and we have three beautiful daughters, Bella, Ruth, and Phoebe. We are on eldership, and I also run my own financial planning business. I'm also fortunate enough to be called the daughter of the Most High King. My topic tonight is our unique calling. I believe we are all unique and called to something different. There are similarities between all of us, but we are individual, and our calling in God is different and unique. But I want to say from the outset that if you're married, your calling is not separate from your husband. God is for your marriage and wants to see it work. He weaves our individual callings together for His purpose. I'm going to start with one of my favorite topics in the Bible, faith. If you want to turn to Hebrews 11, and I'll read verse 1. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him." Without God, without faith, it is impossible to believe, impossible to please Him. And forever would draw near to God must believe He exists, for He rewards those who seek Him. I just love that scripture. Thought I'd start with it tonight. Because mine is also something of a faith journey. Every year we try and go away for a few days. We rest and we reflect on the year. We're a bit of a planning family. We like to discuss what worked the previous year, what's going to work for the next year. We discuss our goals, our visions, our budgeting, we discuss the girls, everything. We rest for about 3 days, and then we rest the time, we do planning and stuff. And then we'll chase it. And the couple of years back, Phoebe is quite young. I've always worked. I've been with corporates for a long time, and just before Ruth, our eldest daughter, was born, decided to go on my own. But always in the back of my mind, it's always been sell my business and be a stay-at-home mom. And a couple of years back when Phoebe was quite young, during the course of that year, I felt that's it, I'm going to sell my business and I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. And that December when we went away, we discussed it. We decided that's it, I'm going to sell it, sell my business and be with the kids. We got back from the time away, we went away, we had a meal as elders. And there was another couple visiting me, the eldership of another church. And I mentioned to her, I'm going to be selling my business. And she said to me, I feel you're called to business and you will speak with authority in the workplace. I said, no, I'm selling my business. She says, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I see. Well, it sent me in a total tailspin. Her words carried such weight in my heart that I felt I couldn't sell my business. I had to hear what God was telling me. I had to get clarity from God before I could sell my business and make any other decisions. And that's when a journey began of discovering the specifics. Cooley always talks about the general will of God. Do the general will of God and the specifics will come. And I knew the general will of God for us is to serve the people of Church on Main, to give to the poor and to preach the lost. I had to discover the specifics for my life and to find out what they are. And that's when a journey of faith began. I love the stories in Hebrews 11, faith journeys of many people told there. And I've often prayed that God will make me a woman of faith. A woman who trusts Him and trusts Him for the things unseen, the things not that He has laid on my heart. Things He has laid on my heart, yet I can't see them. To have faith, assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And thinking about the specifics, I looked around me and realized we're all so different. At the time, no other elder's wife worked outside the church. There were very few working moms. And I realized the body of Christ was so different. There were so many different parts. We all had to play our unique part to be the body of Christ. We all look different, fulfilling different parts. and being the body of Christ, God using us and good works he's prepared in advance for us to do. I started reading widely just to get an idea what a working mom entails. Even though it always works, it's always the back of my mind, it's always be that I'll be at home with my children. My primary role as a daughter of God, a wife to Kulu, and a mother to three beautiful girls. But if God is calling me to more, I had to understand, I had to manage, how am I going to cope? I read a blog about a mother in America who worked in Washington, D.C. and would come home on weekends. And one weekend she went to go buy nappies and she had a breakdown. Cardin breakdown, she did. She just couldn't carry on. And I was like, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to work so hard that I break down, that I can't cope. I don't want to get to the point where I can't cope with daily living. And I felt God say, I will give you my grace when you do my will. I will give you grace. God's grace is upon us when we do his will. His grace is upon us when we do the things he has called us to do. When you do his will, God's unmeasurable grace and kindness is upon us. I continued to ask God for the specifics, and I felt him say, I've already told you. God speaks to me in three distinct ways, the first being the word of God. I'll read the word of God, and he'll minister to me all different types of things. Early on in our marriage, it'd be unforgiveness towards my husband or something I'd said wrong. So I'd be SMSing him as I start my quiet time. Or I'd be walking and praying or driving and praying. God would lay something in my heart. And the second way I feel God speaks to me is through dreams. And I love these as God shows me pictures. And I can have faith for it because I've literally seen it unfold before my eyes. And when we sold the house in Harfield and bought in Constantia, he showed me so many pictures of what our house would look like and the prices we would pay and what we'd get. He gave us so much detail. And the third way is prophecy. When everybody comes to town, I'm the first one to put up a hand and say, I want a prophetic picture. Give me a story, Lord. Give me something. But they're so difficult to believe in because it's somebody else. It's what they've seen. We also prophesy in part, so we have to lay it up before God and weigh, is it for us? And it's also what someone else has seen, not us. It's something unseen. Some we lack, and we might think, are they applicable? And we think they're for our lives, but they never linger. Others linger and churn over and over and over in our minds. And as they do, we start to have faith for them. We start to have trust for them. I reread all my prophecies and asked God for the specifics. What was he wanting me to do? I said, Lord, what do you want me to accomplish for your kingdom? And so my faith journey began. I was reading and rereading the prophecies and kept asking God what is applicable to me. It's as if the prophecies are out there and us trusting for them, we taking a step towards them. Kulu always reminds me that if we take a step out in faith, Jesus will meet us in that place. We have to trust God to have assurance of faith. It's not easy. It's not like you wake up one day and you say, I have faith. We don't believe one day and the next day we believe. It's a process of trusting God. A process of faith. With persistent prayers, the unseen becomes seen. At the time, I wrote a scripture and stuck out on my wall. James 2, verse 23. Abraham believed God and he was called a friend of God. I knew I wanted to be a friend of God. I knew I wanted to believe him. So even though it was hard, I wanted to believe him. And my prayer was one of, Lord, help me trust you for your purposes for my life. My prayer was insistent, constant, and ongoing. Bella, my middle daughter, will sometimes say, Lord, I mean, Mom, I pray for something. Mom, I pray for something and it hasn't happened. And I'll say to her, how often have you prayed? She'll say once. She'd say to her, you have to pray over and over and over and over again. You have to pray so God knows you're earnest and will hear your prayers. You'll realize that you're serious about what you're asking and that you will honor what he gives you. And that was my prayer. Insistent, persistent, and constantly asking God. Constantly asking God for the specifics to show me the way forward. I'm going to read one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 23. Turn there if you want. We all know this psalm very well. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I love this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff will comfort me. And even though I didn't walk through a valley of death, there were times when I just didn't know. I wanted to hear God. I wanted to hear him. But he was always there, showing me the way, encouraging me to continue. And you can also turn to Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. We'll read verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And 13, he, as a father shows compassion to his children, as a father shows compassion unto those who fear him. And one more psalm, Psalm 1. I think it's a favorite of many elders' wives. Did Lauren mention it? I know Fiona also loves it. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I love this, but this delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. As we get to know our purpose in God, we seek God, we read his word, we say, Lord, show me your ways, show me your face, show me your way, show me your way for my life. God is very kind to us. He woos us to find our purpose, our vision, and our life in him. He puts the desires in us in order to discover the specifics for our lives. He takes us on a faith journey, a journey where we discover more about him and his purpose and the purpose for our lives. We serve an amazing, majestic, kind, and glorious King, and I encourage you to discover the specifics for your life. What is God calling you to? What is he encouraging you to have faith for? What is your faith journey? What are you needing to trust God for, to be called a friend of God? Are you persistent? Are you desperate to hear the specifics for your life? As you might have realized, in my faith journey, I realized I am called to business. I do still have my financial planning business, and I don't know for how long the season will be. But I know I'm called to work. And when I told Cooley, he really knew. God had prepared him. And that's why I mentioned earlier, God weaves our call together with our husbands. It's not a separate call, it's a call that's together. He works it out majestically in his sovereign, amazing way. It was a big mind shift for me, because I'd always thought I'd work part-time. And it changed my thinking. I wanted to honor God with my business. I had to think long-term, I had to think strategically. And God has blessed me immensely. I've got amazing clients. I love praying for them. I love praying for their finances. I love my work. God has really blessed me. But my primary call is still a wife and a mother to three beautiful girls. And I ask God, how will I do it all? How will I be a mother? Sorry, I love my girls. How will I be a mother, on eldership, and run a business? God reminded me of his grace. A grace that surpasses all understanding. A grace that sustains and nourishes us. Galatians 1 verse 3 says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself to our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." He also gave me a very kind, gracious, and loving husband. But my concern was still for my children. I wanted to be there for them. I've always managed to attend school outings, plays, and concerts, and knew it wouldn't change. But I wanted God's assurance that I could do it all, as it were. I wanted to know that he was always by my side. Claire says, always used the lovely picture of labor. She's always used the picture of the Holy Spirit being a midwife in labor. And God reminded me of this picture. And I realized that not only is he my business partner, he's our co-parent. He assists Cooley and I daily with the parenting of our children. And I knew that even though I couldn't always be there, the Holy Spirit is always there with my children. He gave me the assurance that he would be there for my children. I'll tell you a lovely story of them just doing that. A couple of months ago, Phoebe's youngest daughter was invited to a party. And I told her about it and asked her if she wanted to go. And Bella, our middle daughter, piped up why she always invites her to parties. And I was about to say, it's typical for her age, a lot of four-year-olds are invited to all the girls' parties. When Ruth, my eldest, said, it's because she's white. White people like white people and don't like brown. I'm brown, and white people don't like brown people. So if you know our girls, they're all slightly different in color. It's just God's genes. But I was very upset because the girls had spoken of colour before, but had always been talked of peach, and they have never spoken of white. And I realised in that instant that Ruth had experienced racism. Our precious child had experienced racism in a home where we embrace all. I was very distraught. I cried for most of that day and the next. But people were amazing, reaching out, sending prayers, and sending comments. And I shared many of them with Ruth. I even tried to explain to her that more than likely Jesus was brown, given the area he was from. She didn't believe me. She says, "Mom, Jesus looks better white." And whatever I said, nothing sank in. She was brown and should not be liked by white people. I was up early one morning praying, and I felt God give me a word. That morning when I went to school, I said to her, "Ruth, I've been praying for you. And I feel Jesus wants to tell you something. He says to you that it doesn't matter what color you are, white, brown, or blank, you'll always have many, many friends because of your kind and gracious heart. She looked at me, gave me a kiss, and skipped away. And my daughter has changed. A word in season has brought life to my daughter. The perfect word from God in season just turned my daughter around. She's confident again. She's different. Her attitude is just different. Felt God remind me that He is there in all we do. He is there in the detail of our lives. And we have found that if we serve Him as we walk in His purpose, He is there. He meets us and His grace is upon us daily. Jesus, the lover of our souls, the amazing King whom we serve, loves us enough to partner with us as we journey through life, as we walk in faith to serve Him, to seek Him for all He has for our lives. We serve an amazing, kind, and gracious King. I call it a privilege to serve Him, my Lord and Master.